So this is the Monday, January 18th Coach the Coach Practicum 2 with the October Fabulous F. And this is Susie Grace Beekman. I don't know if I said 2016. Forgive me if I didn't. Maybe I said 2000. Who knows what I said. Okay, here we go. So, yeah, I love the things that you posted, and I want to ask for questions that came up in your coaching. And then the intention for this class is everybody will get a chance to practice turnarounds. We'll talk about how artful ways to do turnarounds, some kind of hints for making it work and not work or not work so well. And even I noticed your limiting beliefs that could be really good to work with. And I think I might coach somebody or a couple people just a little bit. I try not to do that, but because I saw a couple things in the strand that I just like to check in on. And then we're going to practice doing turnarounds. So first of all, what's come up for you as you've been practicing this in this crazy time of winter, the month that's passed? A long time. So what did you notice either about the work working you in your own mind or heart or whatever, or about using it with clients? And it's open forum questions.
This is Saskia. I have a question.
Mm-hmm.
So my thing is, for instance, if I were to say he is a loser and then turn it around, then I get to I am a loser. And then I'm like, see, I am a loser.
Oh, perfect. Thank you for asking that.
Yeah.
That's really good.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay, first of all, I don't do the turnaround to self until last. And I've been saying that for a while, and I noticed at the summit a couple of other experienced certified facilitators said that they have discovered that unless you do it, my experience is unless you do that one last, it's just going to be more beating up on yourself.
Mm-hmm.
And that is the big downfall, I think, of using this work with clients, because it just reinforces their ideas that they are, I knew it. So
all my fault.
Definitely.
I think that's what I do is like, see, it is all my fault. If only I were different. If only I could change, or this is like my stuff. It's like sometimes I find myself, yeah, it's just hard for me to not take too much responsibility in things sometimes. Does that make sense?
Well, I think it's true for approximately 99.9% of the people in this program. Because that's why we're working on ourselves. We're convinced, we're self-help projects, right? I don't know, maybe not everybody, but you should see my bookshelves.
So true.
So we come into it with that, and it's, the idea is that I'm a problem. Or there's a problem with me. And that's the first thing that'll be our proof. We do the work and turn it around to yourself. And the turnaround should never be a slap. It should be a kiss. So I'm very careful when I do the turnarounds to start with the opposite, which can be pretty gentle, and like, oh, could it be that it's not, he's not a jerk or whatever it is. And in some way in that situation, what do you see? And then it might be, he's not a jerk to me. I'm a jerk to him, and be like, well, are there times in that situation, even in your mind, that you're kind of a jerk to him? People can usually find that. And the cool turnaround then is when it's to yourself, it would be, I'm a jerk to me. So the way you line up the one-liner can really help. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
And so I will sometimes, knowing that when I'm setting up the one-liner or the limiting belief, I will on purpose kind of slip in a to him or to her if I can, and they usually accept it without knowing.
Oh, right.
And the reason for that is that it's much easier with the on you with the turnarounds, and it's easier to find the other in the turnaround, if that makes sense.
Yeah.
And you'll experience it. Mm-hmm. This could really be mind-boggling if we try to analyze it too much. But.
Mm-hmm. Okay, thank you.
So three kinds of turnarounds. It's in your book, and you've probably listened to the tapes. The other is usually the one that's the most confusing to people. And so that's why I sometimes put an object in the sentence as I'm framing it up. And there isn't an other in many cases. So other is when you say, he's a jerk to me, I'm a jerk to him. It's when you take the me, make it the subject of the sentence, and then make him the object. That's what other is. And I know that's a language that old English teachers like me are more comfortable with, but that's what you're doing.
Okay.
And then the other turnaround, the other hot tip I wanted to give you, a couple of them about turnarounds. You'll hear Martha, and I think she does this on the tape, you hear her say, my thinking. And that's one that is used occasionally, but there's kind of been, I've heard Katie say several times, don't overuse that one because it kind of becomes like this cop-out, it's kind of conceptual. But particularly if you're talking about your body, that's a really good time to use my thinking or thing, you know, like thanks or, you know, some objects. Then it's really nice to know about the my thinking one. But it can get you confused if you try to use it in all cases. Are there any questions about that? Okay, then one other kind of turnaround that I think you need to be told about. And you'll see this and you'll hear this in Inquiry Power Hour if you go on Wednesdays. I believe Debbie's in the Wednesday group now. She just loves this one. It's they call it the extreme opposite. So it's like, he's a jerk to me. What's the opposite of jerk? And you ask the client, good guy or whatever, a nice guy, whatever it would be. And then you ask, and that would be the extreme opposite. So are there some ways in that situation that he was actually being a nice guy? You know, we can play with that a little bit, but that's another kind of turnaround. And a lot of times that's very opening. But I think you're peeling away layers, and so you do it gently. And I always like with just opposite, other, self, but not self, you know, self-berating. We'll talk about a little bit more about the self-berating thing next week, too, when we do the ACT. There are some habitual loops that we run about what's wrong with us. And sometimes, you know, if you just really take it down in the work, you can't believe it anymore. But there are other ways to observe it too. So that was a lot of talk. Okay, any other questions?
I have a question. This is Patricia.
You're very quiet. Can you speak up and I'll turn up my phone?
Okay.
Who is this?
This is Patricia.
Oh, hi.
Can you hear me?
Yes, I can.
Okay. I listened to the audio where the question was, is it always, right to say something should have happened as an opposite? And they were talking about the incident of the person who had a car accident and had been paralyzed and the child was lost and everything. And, you know, I understood some of the thinking, But I just can't get my head around always feeling as though should is the right word. And I just wonder if there are times when you can approach that circumstance without saying should. Are you following
me? Well, I'll tell you, here's the deal. We all know that we don't want to should on ourselves, right? It's because we've read all those books on our bookshelf. So the enlightened mind knows that. But, Patricia, what we're trying to do is find the part of us that's not enlightened yet. And so there's a part of us, it's kind of the dictator, Martha would say, there's a part of us that is still believing they shouldn't have done that. Oh, it's my fault. I shouldn't have done that, you know. So to bring that out into the light and to inquiry can be really helpful. It's just a part of you that believes that you shouldn't have or you should have. And that's what you want to look at, even if 75% of you doesn't believe it. What were you going to say?
And I don't have such a problem with myself. I can say that I should or I shouldn't, and that's where I see that logic. But if it was an event, you know, an event that was tragic or something, and then just
like
it should have happened.
Yeah.
And I just...
Well, I'll tell you where I go with that one. I probably wouldn't use a should. If I'm working on different parts of it, if you get down on the Judge Your Neighbor worksheet number 6, question 6, what do you never want to happen again? That kind of usually hits that material.
Mm-hmm.
I never want this to happen. There's another question that's how might it be if it's a kind universe that this could happen? How might it be a good thing? And it's just that it's really, you just want to examine all the aspects of something. It's not to try to convince anybody. It's for them to find out what they might be missing.
Okay.
When they're believing it shouldn't have happened. I'll give you an example. I don't think I give this example so often. Did I talk about the house fire with you guys?
Okay. I don't think so.
So my son was in an apartment. His bed was on fire when he woke up. This is it's when I was doing the training 7 years ago, 7 or 8 years ago. He woke up. He got out just before it hit flashpoint. He was burned to the whatever those are, third degree or whatever, 40% of his body. He was put in a medical coma. He was flown to the burn unit, and I spent 5 weeks I live in Oregon, so in Portland, while he was in the burn center, and we didn't know what was going to happen. You know, found out it was 40% chance that he wouldn't live. I did not do the work during that time, but I did, I mean, in any formal way. But I was working because I remember thinking of it. I'd wait. Okay, so if I believe he's going to die, if I believe he's going to have this or that happen, how do I react? And I wasn't good. And then I thought, oh, well, do I want to not feel good? Okay. And then I would go, so good to know. And then I would go to how this might this be a good thing if the universe is kind, and make a list. And I made a list, and it just unfolded. One thing after another, all these people were getting together and meditating and praying for him all around the world. The burn center people were fabulous. Every time they took off the bandages, it was better than they expected. People gave us places to stay. I was riding on the bike paths in Portland. I didn't have much to do, you know, for a long time. And I'd come and I could get the right care. Lots of body workers came in and did, you know, gentle body work, mostly Reiki and energy work. It was amazing. And they had 3 benefits for him here in town. The whole community came together. It was like a project. So it kept evolving from there. And it turned out he did survive, and he had very little, you know, he had some scar. I mean, obviously a lot of scarring on his parts of his body, but his face doesn't look clear, you know, and he's healing gradually, and he's been healing psychologically from the trauma, and so, you know, that's how it turned out. But it was, I couldn't afford to go down that loop, because I had, and by looking, using the inquiry and finding all those things, I could stay in a position that I could be of use. Does that make sense?
Mm-hmm.
So, Patricia, if I were doing it with a client, it would have to be somebody I probably would not be a first session, you know?
Well, actually, there is someone who did something like that to me, and they took it into sort of maybe the more broader, you know, spiritual meaning of things, and that was a lot easier to deal with, and they didn't use the word should. But I was just taken aback by how strong the tape sounded on, you know, you should be able to tolerate the should, you know.
I don't know. I just say write that off. I hope I didn't say it.
No, you didn't.
So you might want to substitute how might this be a good thing if you know.
Yeah, okay.
In a kind universe.
Thank you.
Yeah, which takes them to that more spiritual place. Okay. Any other questions? Anything that's come up with your clients or your practice, your buddies? Okay. There's one that I thought, oh, wow, that's so good. I know, Laura, I liked your comment. I'm looking right now at the
mm-hmm.
at the list. Oh, here's one. Barbara, are you there?
I'm here.
So you wrote, I'm afraid to join a gym.
Yes.
So that was an interesting one. I got curious because I'm wondering if that's, you know, the first thing would be to say, is it true that you're afraid to join a gym?
Yes,
but that's,
I am.
That's questioning a thought, a feeling, right? And I don't usually do that. So that's such a great setup for us to think about as coaches. So
okay.
Why are you afraid to join a gym?
Mm-hmm. I think it's because I don't have any gym skills. Like I'm not especially coordinated, and I hate the thought of going in there where there's all these people that are, you know, workout fiends, and I don't even know how to turn on a treadmill or anything.
Okay, so you don't have the skills it'll take. You don't have the information you need to be able to be successful.
Right.
Was that what you were saying?
Yeah.
Okay, so why are you thinking you need to be successful when you go to the gym the first time? What makes you think you have to have that information?
I think it's I always feel like I should be able to do my best, and I look at this as a fairly simple skill, and I should be able to do that. You know, I can do all kinds of great things, but going into a gym just, I really feel terrible.
Oh, Barbara, it's perfectly fine. I mean, you know, I get it, you know.
Mm-hmm.
I get that it's stressful for you.
Yeah.
But, and you... I guess the question that came up for me is, whose business are you in when you think that you need to be to go there with the information it takes to be successful?
I think it's just my thing. You know, I'm getting a little bit older now. I feel like I should do a little bit, put more effort into keeping myself healthy, and the gym is 5 minutes from my house, so. You know,
But in the moment that you're believing that you need to be prepared before you go in there, whose eyes are you looking through at that moment?
I think mine.
Okay. So I'm guessing that this is one of those things that, yeah, I get that. But are you thinking that they will think that you're not prepared, or that they will think that you're foolish?
Yes, I think they're going to laugh at me. I envision
that gets
a lot of
the thought. Yeah.
Okay. Yeah.
Yeah. They'll laugh.
You know, somebody's going to laugh at me. I just know it. And I know that because I worry about it so much, I'll create it and it will happen.
Right. So that one, it goes, do you have a buddy you're working with?
In our study group, yeah.
In the study group. Would you work with that in the study group? And I want to talk about, so notice that it came from you, and it really isn't your business. Your business would be to go to the gym and get the information you need to go to the gym, right?
True, yes.
Anything else is not your business.
No, I
it's their
mean.
Business what
yeah.
they think of you. And the fact that you don't know how to do it right now, isn't that the way of things? Isn't that reality?
Yeah.
Which is the third kind of business, which is the way things are.
Yeah.
Or some call it God's business. So you'd be thinking that you should, that there's a problem here, that you don't know it, and there's a problem with reality. And you know the slogan, you can argue with the reality, but you lose only 100% of the time.
Mm-hmm.
So
yeah,
you're
like
in
that.
Two different kinds of business besides your own.
Mm-hmm.
And I think they'll laugh at me if you work that with your group, and if they ask, you know, maybe go back to when you first believed that they would laugh at you when you were doing physical things. And was there a time in your life that you first attached to the belief that they laugh at you when you're awkward?
I'm sure that there was.
Or you don't know what you're doing. Yeah, so you might go back and see where that came from.
But
I just wanted to point out to the group that their thought was, I'm afraid to join a gym. And I didn't go into, are you sure you're afraid? Because there's no reason to argue with the feeling, right, Barbara? I mean, you're...
Yes, you're right.
If I tried to have you take you into work and like, well, I'm not afraid yet. Well, go suck on a whatever. So I don't know what people say. But anyway, you wouldn't listen to me. It's just a feeling.
Yeah, I understand.
Yeah. That's a really good piece of work you just did. And you also might want to look at, I have to look good or I have to be successful.
Mm-hmm.
But how in other parts of your life, how it might keep you from taking a step. I have to have all the information. That sounds like a fact finder.
Yeah, I am.
Yeah, me too. Fact finder sister. Yeah, I call it purgatory.
Yes.
Okay, well, that was a really good one, you know, to look at.
How about your thought, I should always be able to do my best?
Well, I thought about going with that, too. There's so many different ways you can go. Who is this?
That was Kathy.
By the way. What?
Kathy.
I can't hear it.
Kathy.
Okay. So what would you have done?
Well, that was just the one that got my marmoset response. I should always be able to do my best. And then going in from the top with that, well, is that true? Can you absolutely know that you should always be able to do your best? And then how do you feel?
Yeah, that's a good idea. And then taking her, Kathy, would you go to the situation at the gym then?
The main thing would be to try to know from her is, you know, does that feeling that you should always be able to do your best show up anywhere besides the gym? Are we talking about something global here?
Mm-hmm. It's global.
Yeah. The only thought I have is that you would want to take one situation if you're going to do the work, because if it gets global, the mind just flips all over, and you want to try to really track it down to one example, so you can see how the mind works. It's easier to slow it down. Does that make sense?
Yeah, it does.
So you choose something. If she said, oh, well, it reminds me of the time, blah, 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 then you might go there, but you want to get it nailed to a specific time. That would be very profitable. So there you go. Got some more work to do, Barb.
Okay, thank you.
And, Kathy, if you want to contact Barb, I think that could be a great opportunity to facilitate.
Okay.
Good listening, y'all. Okay, so who else? Where did things come up? And this could be about the work generally or where you're doing, you're practicing it. Okay, Laura, are you here?
Yes.
And I'm talking about your response. And for those of you who are, aren't online, she says this. It's an interesting exercise because using number one as an example, which is she should be more organized, so I can tackle everything on my to-do list. There's a recipe for unhappiness. There's always a story attached to the limiting belief, such as, I am as busy as everyone in our cohort. We all have a lot to do, so it stands to reason that some things will get done and some won't. It's all about prioritizing and getting help. I know this intelligently or logically, but I'm obviously having difficulty letting go of the thought that I have to be a superwoman if only I could fly, LOL.
Because you know why I put that down? Because when I was a little girl, I used to have dreams that I could fly. And I haven't dreamt that I could fly in a very long time. And I can't wait till we get into the whole dream analysis stuff. But it's funny because when you were just speaking with Barb about this sort of being a bigger picture thing, like, you know, Barb was saying that it's her nature to want to be successful at things. So when she goes out into the world, you know, Barb wants to, you know, be successful at whatever initiative she undertakes. And I kind of feel the same thing about organization. It's just my nature. I like things in order. If I'm organized, I feel like I can get more done. But that's hard to do all the time. Now it's really mm-hmm. tough trying to balance all mm-hmm. the stuff, including the course and et cetera, et cetera.
Right. So there's a thought in there that you have to be able to do it all in an organized way.
Okay.
Right?
Yeah.
And particularly when it comes to this particular group. Now, you notice you left your business when you said, well, everybody else is busy too. That's what the mind does. That's their business, what they're doing, which is just kind of a distraction.
Yeah, you're right. I think it's my nature. That's part of my nature coming out of because I'm a salesperson. So, you know, you want to make people feel comfortable around you, and I sort of have to learn to not bring others' business into my business or in the conversation.
You know, salespeople and people pleasers, which are not mutually exclusive.
Yes. It's a terrible situation sometimes.
Yeah. I mean, all the things that have helped us to be successful in our lives, now we're saying let's question those. That it serves me, and the part that serves me, I think that the thing that really is important to grasp here is that we're doing to look at the things we haven't looked at.
Mm-hmm.
That's how we grow, and that's how we have personal realization. You know, of something else. So if we stay with, I have to be organized, get it together, and make a good image, and that's how our work has reinforced us,
mm-hmm.
then we might not be asking these other questions. And so we might not see how it hurts us. How do I react when I think I have to get it all organized and look good and everything?
Mm-hmm.
How do I treat myself? You know, and then you go into looking at the part you might have missed.
Mm-hmm.
Does that make sense?
It does.
So the whose business am I in question, I think is, for me, that was the most powerful one to discover. Oh, my God, I'm not in my business. Very much of the time. I'm thinking, I know what they think, what they want. I anticipate it before they ask. You know, they like me. That makes me safe, you know, or whatever in some way. And I've gotten a lot of benefits from it.
Mm-hmm.
But
and
we
you
don't
know what,
realize
you,
the cost.
You know, you're so right, because I will tell you, I'm very fortunate because my husband is extremely supportive of my being in this course and becoming a coach. And he, on many occasions, has just come up and said, let me help you do this. What can I do to help you? What can I help to take the load off? And I look at him like he's a Martian with, like, triple horns or something. Like, what? What do you mean you want to take the load off? No, I need to do it all. I need to do it all. You do nothing. You know, not that he does nothing, but you know what I mean. It's so...
Yeah.
It's like letting go of this crazy belief. And here
well,
I,
and
yeah.
What you're really describing is an MO there.
Yes.
Your modus operandi for the planet.
Yeah.
This is how I'm going to get around on the planet.
Mm-hmm.
Just so I don't want to go into, I don't have time to coach you on that, but to, for you to look at that as something that has brought you this far. But maybe that, you know, you're looking at some other things now.
Mm-hmm.
The ego is very happy with the way things have been, and what we're trying to do is flip it over and look at some other things.
Mm-hmm.
So, and we usually get that download when we're about 4 or 5. And we decide, oh, okay, here are the rules for the road here on the planet.
Mm-hmm. And that
be nice,
yeah.
You know, please people, don't say things directly, you know, that would be mine, you know, whatever it is, you know. Compete, you know, be, I don't know, look good. That was a big one. So what we're doing now is like we're helping that little girl grow up and find out what's truer. Does that make sense?
It makes a whole lot of sense, yes.
Yeah. Okay, man, you guys are so down. I can hardly stand it. So I want to get a chance to practice the work. Is there anybody else? There were a lot of really good limiting beliefs, and so we're just going to work with them. And what I'll do is call on you, and then you can help people. Remember the 3 kinds of turnarounds. So we're going to walk somebody, okay, have somebody choose one of their beliefs, and then you walk them through the 3 kinds of turnarounds. This is just so you can practice it. So can you turn it around to an opposite? Can you turn it around to other? You know, let's turn it around to self. Maybe direct. This is just a practice session. And I just want to say that when you do this with clients or even tonight, it's really nice to have a light touch. This is not about an investigation, exactly. It's, let's just see what else might be true. Let's try this out. Let's turn it around and see what else you might be missing. That's the point of the turnaround. And when you do it that way, the mind is much more pliable. So, let's see. Patricia, you want to work with Jody. Oh, Jody's in the other class. She posted the wrong thing. So here's a thought. I don't know who the friend is. I'd like you to work with Sayaka and just do some turnarounds with her. And I probably totally missed.
Sorry, yeah. I'm laughing because this is the funniest thing. Patricia and I had a call earlier today, and Patricia said, I hope she doesn't pick me today.
Well, do you feel more comfortable because I picked you and it's Sai?
I'm comfortable. It's just so funny because she was saying, oh, I hope I'm not ready. I hope she doesn't pick me. So it was so funny that you picked Patricia.
So, Patricia, here's the deal. You don't have to be ready.
No, that's fine. It's fine.
Okay.
And I thought you, but I was laughing because I thought you were taking besides limiting thought, which was what I worked on with her.
Oh. Well, you know, they have a saying in the work, there are no new thoughts. They just get Velcroed onto you and then they're onto me. And they're all floating around there, and there really aren't that many of them when you think about it. We're just being thought. Okay,
yeah,
so Tricia with Psy. And I would choose, I mean, any of these would be fine, but you don't have them in front of you. So, Psy, would you like to do the turnarounds for my private yoga clients will get bored with my sessions?
Sure.
Would that be okay? All right.
Mm-hmm.
So, Patricia, there you go. That's the thought.
Sorry,
can you repeat that, please?
Can you repeat it?
My private yoga clients will get bored with my sessions.
Just let me write it down. So, just so I know what you want, do you want me to simply go through finding which turnarounds?
Yeah, actually,
with
coaching her with
go through and come up with examples and all the rest of that.
Mostly it's to find three different turnarounds just to get more comfortable and an example, at least one example of each if you can. Yeah, that'd be great.
Okay. So, so the way that I understand it is that you help them come around with the turnarounds, and if they don't come up with one, then you help them. Is that how you do it or not?
Right. Now we're making the assumption, you know, so you could say, so can you turn that around to its opposite?
Yeah.
And
yeah.
Let's assume this is a client who knows a little bit, right? So you aren't having to teach it to them.
Okay.
You know, you've worked with her once before, so but then she'll find the turnaround. You're just going to lead her through it.
Yeah. Yeah, unless you get stuck. Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, exactly.
So Psy. Long time no
Psy. Yeah, long time.
So, I mean, this really was just about an hour and a half ago. Anyway. Okay.
This is how the universe works, yes.
So, okay. So, with the thought, my private yoga clients, I wrote it down wrong. Can you give it to me one more time? My private yoga clients
will get bored with my session.
Oh, we'll get bored.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Can you think of a way to turn this around so that it's the opposite?
Sure. My private yoga clients won't get bored with my sessions. Will not.
Good. Yeah. Mm-hmm. All right. Can you think of a turnaround where this would be awkward?
Pause. So, Patricia, you want to have her find an example.
Oh, okay. I thought you said don't do that.
I said one example is plenty.
Oh, just one example. Okay.
Mm.
Sorry.
Yeah.
I guess I'm not listening tonight. Okay. So my private yoga clients won't get bored with my sessions. Can you think of a genuine example where that's true?
Sure. They keep doing more sessions with me. So I think that means that they actually get something out of my sessions.
Okay. So currently your private yoga clients are asking for more sessions with you.
Right.
Okay. Well, that's good. Can you think of another turnaround which would represent the other, turning it around to the other?
I will go to the others. I will get bored with my private yoga clients in my sessions.
Okay. Can you think of a genuine example where that might happen?
Yes. I do get bored.
You do get bored.
I do get bored sometimes.
Okay. And now how about a turnaround to the self?
I would get bored with my sessions. Is that to myself?
Yeah, I
will get bored with my sessions.
Oh, so, Patricia,
Yeah.
For this one, like, it would be interesting if you turn around to sell, so it'd be, I'd be getting bored with myself. But there's a little trick that I like to use there, and I add if or when there, and that can really open it up for the client.
I'm sorry, you add if?
If or when.
Or when. Okay, okay.
Uh-huh.
Okay.
To the end of the sentence.
Okay. So, so can you think of a turnaround where it says, I will get bored with my yoga sessions if, or if it's easier for you when something happens?
Okay. I will get bored with my private yoga sessions. When I'm doing the same things over and over and over.
Okay. That okay. So that's three turnarounds. Do you want me to do another one?
Excellent. Yeah, perfect. Perfect. So you want to try the extreme just to try it out, Patricia?
The exchange.
The extreme would be what's the opposite of bored?
Oh, what would be the opposite? Oh, the extreme. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
So, So do you want to do a turnaround using an extreme?
Okay. My private yoga clients who have fun with my sessions.
Okay. And do you want to add
pause? Patricia, are you believing her?
No, I was going to ask her if. So she might come up with
that. Oh, perfect.
So can you do that one at the end?
Uh-huh. Okay. My private yoga clients would have fun with my sessions if I am fully present.
Okay.
Okay. Beautiful. Thank you very much. Excellent. So we're just going to do these little practice sessions now to get more experience with the turnaround. Nice job, both of you. So, Deborah, are you here?
I'm here. Sorry, it took me a minute to get off mute.
So, is it true that you shouldn't, that you're holding us back?
Excuse me. Well, since I wrote that, I've been cramming. I think it's probably not really true.
Mm-hmm. So I would, so let's just to practice, let's just look at the turnaround instead of my going through the inquiry with you.
Mm-hmm.
And everybody, what she said was that she shouldn't attend the call because she's going to hold everybody up back. And she's been traveling, and her son's
been done my homework.
And blah, blah, blah. And she's apologizing in advance. And yes, it counts as about a half a dozen limiting beliefs.
Right.
Oh, gosh. Okay, so you're holding everybody back. I am going to just do a really quick inquiry. Is that true?
Okay. Yeah. Well, I feel like if I haven't done my preparation, that it's not fair for me to be participating because...
I get that. That's a concept. What's the reality of it? And just get quiet. I hold everybody back. You absolutely know that you'll hold everybody back?
No, I don't absolutely know that.
Mm-hmm. So how do you react when you think that you'll hold everybody back if you're not, whatever, prepared?
Well, I feel bad because I feel like I'm inconveniencing people and wasting their time.
And whose business are you in?
Oh, other people's business, I guess.
Drop the I care.
What's that?
Okay.
Drop the I guess?
Yeah, yes. That's a Katieism. Drop the I guess.
Right. Okay. Other people's business.
Pretty much. Other people's business. And what would your business be?
That I will learn by being here and advance what I'm trying to do with this class.
So who would you be without the thought that you'd be inconveniencing people and holding them back when you get ready to for this class or dial the number? What if you couldn't do that?
I would just be very open to learning everything I could without worrying about what other people are thinking of me.
Okay, so who are you right now, sitting where you are, whether it is, you know, in a chair or cuddled up somewhere? Who are you right now without the thought that you're inconveniencing anybody?
Excuse me. it feels, well, it just feels really, it's kind of empowering. It's funny, it didn't occur to me when I wrote this earlier, but as we are talking about it, it's occurring to me that this is, you know, like even many, many, many years ago when I was in college and law school, I was always afraid if I said something and if I wasn't right, you know, it was hard for me to speak up in class because I was afraid if I wasn't right, people would be thinking I was stupid. Of course, which I know a lot of women have that belief because I've talked to many women about that. But yeah.
But doesn't make it any less real to you? And how do you react when you believe that is a really important inquiry.
Right. Because it does hold me back. And so not having that thought is very, it's a very empowering thought because it makes me open to doing what's right for me and not worrying what other people think, which is something I've learned to do over the course of my life, but I suppose I'm still thinking those thoughts if I had the thought about tonight and class tonight.
Yeah, well, it's, you know, it really is the social self still, and it's layers. You know, it's like you get it, I get it, and then I don't, you know. It's not, it's how you grow, right? But, yeah, that would be the social self, being concerned about what they think of me or what effect, I mean, like being nice. I don't want to take up too much space, right?
Right. I don't want anybody to think I'm stupid or that I don't know what I'm doing. Right.
Yeah. So there's a whole bunch of, as everybody listening, there are a bunch of underlying beliefs here, and I'm thinking everybody can identify with this.
Yeah.
So if I'm not prepared, they'll think I'm stupid. And you turn that around. I just switched I totally switched the thought. And never do that yourself, but I just want to see what she says.
Okay, turn around. If I'm not prepared, they'll think I'm stupid. If I am prepared, they'll think I'm stupid. Or if I'm not prepared, they'll think I'm smart.
So let's take if I am prepared, they might think I'm stupid. Is that possible? Again, we're just looking not for the right answer. We're just turning it over, looking at different aspects. Is it possible that you could be prepared and they might think you're stupid?
Oh, sure. Yeah.
It would be totally their business. But
Right.
Mm-hmm. And we could go further with that. I mean, you might think of other times that that's happened, but, you know. So what's the other one? I might not be prepared and they might think I'm smart.
Right.
That's what you said. Can you think of examples of that in this particular situation?
Sure. If I'm not prepared, but I'm using my instincts, then they might think I have good instincts, even that I don't need to be prepared to have.
Uh-huh. Anything else? Another example?
If I'm not prepared, they might think I'm smart because I actually am, because I've listened and I'm more prepared than I think I am.
Mm-hmm. And are you feeling stupid right now?
No.
Okay. Well, that's good evidence. And where I'm from, where I'm sitting, somebody who's that down, you know, just shows up. That's damn smart. That's what we ask for in this program. Just take a walk.
Yes, I saw Abigail's post this morning, and I thought, okay, she's talking to me.
I don't think I saw it. What'd she say?
Oh, she basically said, for those of you who've had a lot going on over the holidays, don't worry. Just jump right into the next class. And even if you haven't, even if you've missed classes and haven't listened to a bunch you've missed and haven't done your homework, just jump right into the next class.
So
I was like, okay, I'll do that.
You were taking the direction. So that's another way you
were
smart.
Yeah.
Thank you. Okay. by the way, did you guys notice what I did there in question four? She was giving me a hypothetical. I guess I'd be, and I said, sit where you are right now. Do you remember that? Wherever you're sitting, whether you're snuggled, whether you're in a chair, and give me that answer.
Mm-hmm.
Tell me, and whatever it was that I'm not, people will think I'm stupid. You know, who are you without the thought is question four. And so right now, where you are right now, you know, without the thought, who are you? And sometimes I ask that way because people kind of get hypothetical. And I was trying to keep her from going into her head too much. I was trying to keep her in her body. I don't know if you caught that. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, okay. Now that I think about that, you did that. That worked.
Yeah, you were still somewhere else. I was trying to bring you back. Good. I'm glad to know that. I didn't know before, to tell you the truth. That would be really stupid if I think I know.
No, nothing is stupid. It's all experimentation.
Right. We hope we're smart enough to be able to be honest about it. Okay. So I want to get more chances to practice. So who would like to help somebody do their turnarounds? So I'm looking at you, Diane. Are you in on? I think there are some people missing that I think. Here's how you could help me. I've got three different screens going here. Who is 408 phone number? 408-597-2177.
That's me. This is Grisela.
Oh, okay. I didn't know if you were on, Grisela. Now I know who everybody is on, so that answered my question. Excellent. All right, so you want to try some turnouts, Grisela?
Sure, yeah.
Okay. Diane Keith, are you on? Oh, we just found out she wasn't. I'm stupid. Okay, so let's see.
Susan, you can't say that.
Oh, I can't?
You can't say you're stupid. You introduced a bad concept.
I shouldn't say that, right? Is that true? Okay, Amy's got some good ones. And there are a bunch of them in her first statement. Are you on, Amy?
Hi.
Hi, sweetheart. You were having a rough morning.
It's been a rough day.
Oh, sweetheart. Well, why don't we just let's just have her do practice turnarounds on I'll never get to a healthy weight no matter what I do. Okay?
Okay.
And just practice that one. All right? Is that okay with you, Amy?
Yeah.
And those of us who have that thought, like me, why don't you do this inquiry for yourself, too? Just when she asks, you know, does the turnaround, see what you find, okay? Actually, Amy, and Grisella, let me see if you've had an experience of doing a whole facilitation. Would you like to do a whole facilitation?
I can try.
Okay, I got your back. And just be gentle. We're just trying to answer some questions. So would that be okay with you, Amy?
Yeah, I'm so emotional.
Oh, sweetie. Okay, so let's not do that one. But will you get that done with your group or with your partner?
Yeah.
Oh, honey. What's up?
I'm just...
Amy, are you okay, sweetie? It's Laura.
Hi.
Thank you, Laura.
Thank you, Laura. No, I'm Patricia, and I worked on Friday, and, you know, we did really good work on this whole weight issue, and it was amazing. I think right now for me it's my number one, which is just getting me. I'm just all over the place.
It's okay to cry and feel what you're feeling. Because remember, I'm the one that wrote you at 1 in the morning on Friday because I was shocked open.
I was so touched that you thought of me. I finished planning your North Star, and that book was really, like, that just brought a lot out. And I'm just realizing, like, these catalytic life events that I've gone through. And I'm just like, every time I think of getting ahead, I'm like turning the person soup again. And I don't know if that's normal.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it is.
I'm just like, I've been sitting on mute this whole time, just like crying my eyes out and listening to you guys, and I'm like, what am I doing here? Why am I doing this? I suck. And then I'm just like, I had this meeting this morning with this nonprofit group, and those of you who I've worked with before know my dilemma there. And it's just, I'm holding on to all these things by a thread because I'm so afraid that if this doesn't work out, I have to have a backup plan. But yet, it's all making me so overwhelmed. And just, I don't know.
So you're afraid it won't work out. Right?
And then
you go into analytical thinking. You're strategizing. Laura, did you want to do a little work with her? Because you've worked with her recently. So where would you like to go? I heard you step up.
Sorry, Susan who?
Well, Laura, didn't you just say that you had just sent her an email in the middle of the night?
Yes. It was just
okay.
One of those, I don't even remember what the hell I wrote. I mean, it was just literally one of those, you know, something happened that got me crying, and then I couldn't stop. And then I just thought, oh, my God, it's this damned course. And we've been joking. And I mean, it's love, okay? And it's a
– You do the whole group. About, by the way, Amy.
When
oh, my God.
We're cracking wide open. Like, and Amy used that term. I think it was Amy that said it, that we're cracking wide open. And it's a good thing. And I don't know, so I was feeling like I my head was whirling. I was crying, and I had a glass too many of wine. My husband had gone to bed, and I couldn't go to sleep because my head just wouldn't stop. And I just thought, forget it. I'm just going to sit here and let this thing blow over because I'll feel better. And then at 1 in the morning, I thought, I think I'm just going to send an email to Amy and blather. Not expecting a response or anything. I just thought, you know, hey, just blah blah blah, you know. So.
It is. It's very emotional. I'm experiencing so many different emotions, and overwhelm has been a big one.
People identify yourselves before you talk, because I'm guessing anybody on this call, that's okay, honey. Anybody on this call could be talking in some form right now. This is exactly the way it is. You crack open. And I, Amy, by the way, have a very liquid system. Very watery. Personal.
Oh.
It's always me. And a beautiful thing I've learned about it is that it gives other people permission, too, who have maybe not as watery a system, or maybe they do. You know, it's like this is not easy.
No.
Especially when you get to this thought work. And, you know, I at the end of the 9-day school for the work, there's this beautiful picture of everybody smiling and happy, and there's me on the floor flat. I mean, I'm like literally.
Oh my God, you're killing me laughing now. Can I ask a question? This is Laura. If this feeling in doing the work, because we're all doing the work, and you know, we're all having various thoughts and so forth and beliefs that we're trying to break down, and the idea of being overwhelmed, you know, I've been there too. And is that indicative of? I'll speak for myself because I'm trying to stay out of other people's business. So, if I'm feeling overwhelmed because I'm trying to work through a belief or a thought, does that feeling of overwhelm come from having held myself too tight and not honoring myself for too long? If that makes sense.
Well, is that, do you think, how does it resonate for you? Because it's that your answers, not my answers.
It does kind of resonate, because it's almost like you have, you're working on some, like a thought or a belief,
mm-hmm.
and then something, you just work it through and you have an aha moment, and then you kind of break down out of sheer relief almost, because you've been thinking
yes.
a certain way for so long. And then all of a sudden, you know, the aha moment, yay. And then it's like, holy shit, how long have I been thinking that? Like a top that's being wound way too tight for too long.
Yeah, I find that people cry a lot with this work, because it's sad to see how long you've been, in some cases, how long you've been driving yourself from a false idea of how you're supposed to do this.
Mm-hmm.
thing being called being human, you know? And so you break down because it's sad, you know,
mm-hmm.
when you have that observation. Yeah. And that was a beautiful answer, I think. So, I would just say take it slowly. You know, so we're just doing one turnaround at a time, one question at a time. It's easy to get overwhelmed when you see how many thoughts you have, 60,000 in a given day, by the way. So that's a lot of thoughts or questions. And I noticed that I didn't sleep when I started doing this work. When I came home from an event, I couldn't sleep for about a week, because every thought that came up, I was trying to question. And so what I think since then is just take one and take it easy, and just for that one, really go ask all the questions, answer all the questions, you know, and then see where that goes. And then it will continue working you after you hang up or after you stop sometimes for a long time. You might be taking a shower the next morning and you go, oh, that's an interesting, turnaround, or that's really not true. It's okay. You know, take your time with it. And you don't, this isn't like, this is so different than any other course where you have to master a bunch of material and then spew it out again, because it's doing you.
Mm-hmm.
And you can trust that process.
I think it's pretty fast. I mean, for me, really, and I am a fact finder, I'm still finding things from my first training that I didn't quite get before. And I'm talking about the Martha Beck training. So, you know, some of the tools that I now use in a different way. It's really too much to get, but it will break you open. And I would say it breaks you open to a kinder universe than the way you've been pushing yourself or controlling yourself for so long. Was that a decent answer?
Yeah.
It's like, Katie is so good for her quotes, and it's hard for me, like, she's not my guru or anything, but it's hard for me not to quote her because she's so dang quotable. I forgot what I was going to say. Being broken open. Oh, there you go. Never mind. Let me tell you the place you can get, though, that since I was just mentioning that. She came to a Byron Katie conference. I mean, to a Martha Beck thing. I was the keynote, and I was hosting her. And I introduced her to a woman. This is classic. I introduced her to a woman, and she said, "Oh, honey, oh, you're pregnant." And the woman said, I'm fat. And she said, "You're pregnant. Do you love it? Do you love it?" And she said, "No, actually, this is just, I'm fat." You know, she really wasn't fat, but she said, and Katie said, "Oh, do you love that?" And it was not fake. It was totally, Stephen was there. We rounded a corner, and he said, "I love that about you, Katie." And she said, "What?" He said, "Well, you didn't even flinch." And she said, "About what?" So it's that, you know, that kind of freedom that just blows me away. And the woman came up to me later and said, "You know what I thought about it, and it wasn't true that I'm even fat. I've just been constipated." She was the person that planned the whole conference. So it's that kind of acceptance of being light on your feet, actually. But there's some crying that's involved sometimes. I really love that this group is so there for each other. I just sense that. And so, you know, in your study group, please continue to work with the turnarounds and bring up any questions. I feel like going back right into the turnarounds at this moment doesn't feel quite right for me. So I'd like to answer questions, and then we'll figure out where to go from here.
Susan? So this is Sai. Would you say more about what you said earlier about the who would you be without the thought? You said you were doing it differently, but I didn't quite get.
For question four?
Yeah, how and where you used it instead?
I'm not sure exactly what she said, but she sort of said, "Well, I would have," and it was sort of hypothetical. It was in her head. I would have.
Uh-huh.
I would is use of the keyword. So sometimes, if I feel like a person's in their head on question four, I'll say, "Well, right now, who are you talking to me with your butt in the chair, without that thought?" So I get them back into their body.
Oh, okay.
I invite them back into their body. You know, it's
got it. Okay. Gotcha.
Yeah.
Thank you. Okay. Mm-hmm. Thank you.
You're welcome. Anyone else? One way to really continue to work with turnarounds is, if you can get to Inquiry Power Hour, that would be great. The turnarounds are, I wanted to talk about how to get off of the turnaround too at the end. The turnarounds are a way, like I said before, it's like trying on clothes. You can just tell your client, "We're just going to try on these different thoughts and see if they," because you've already discovered that thought makes you stressed.
right? That's what the whole thing is about question three, that they see how they're creating the stress with that thought, and they see how they make themselves suffer. So then question four would be, you know, it's that invitation to see, and often people do really find that pretty quickly. Who, you know, with in this situation, what if you didn't believe that, and you've already worked with that? And then the turnarounds are just a way to, the mind requires proof is one of the principles of this. So that's when you really start doing the rewiring, is with the turnarounds. And if you work with people in person, you'll see it. Their little eyes go ding, 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 you know, with, when they're, because they're thinking about something in a radically different way. And really, it's just an invitation. You just ask the next turnaround, can you think of some examples, and then go to another one. And it's really the time that the neural pathways are being shifted. The great thing about the turnarounds is, about all this work, I think, but the turnaround specifically is you could, they blow my mind every time when I trust the work. They'll come out with turnarounds that I don't know enough about them to know how they could, you know, that this example is perfect for them. They'll just, and if you just keep on hanging in there, is there another turnaround and another turnaround? Can you turn it around? Another example, and then turning it around another way, you really get to know your clients fast, and they're doing their own work. You know, their mind is being explored and shifted, and you don't have to do it based on your limited knowledge of their life or their intelligence. Mm-hmm. So you do the turnarounds, and you try to find three, and we've talked about how you don't want to do the self-judgment one. You know, see if you can frame that a little bit. And then usually there's a sense that you've landed on one, you know, that there's a kind of a, not always, but, you know, maybe there's one or two that seem to be really work for them. And then I might say, and this is a really good way to dismount and to do the homework. This is called living the turnaround. So it might be that with the thing about being stupid, who was that? Because I don't think you are anymore. Deborah. So what might you do next week, Deborah, knowing that what you, like, I would be in this. I wouldn't, this is kind of hard to get back there. But with the, that turnaround being as truer, that it's smart to show up. How might that change how you might do this program? How
maybe
how you live next week as far as the program goes?
I think it just means that I would just accept wherever I am and not have the expectations that I should be anywhere in particular in terms of, I mean, I can do as much as I can do and then not feel that I'm anything other than where I'm supposed to be based on what I've done. Does that make sense?
So, yeah, absolutely. So it sounds like what you're talking about is how you would do your life differently about the program with there'd be more peace of mind, I hear you saying. You do what you can do, and then you would, that would be okay with you. Is that right?
Right. And doesn't that apply to so many areas of life?
Mm-hmm. So is there another area of life where that would be helpful to you?
Oh, well, you know, I related to what, was it Laura? About how, said about how there's always, oh, right, yeah, about wishing she was more organized because there's just always, we all always have so much to do and just to be able to accept that we're doing enough, and if I don't get things done that I think I should have gotten done, to be able to accept that that's where I am.
Okay, so that would be a challenge, I would guess. That's like a challenge for the rest of your life, right? So this week, Deborah, what commitment do you want to make to yourself?
Well, what I really want to say is I want to get caught up. But I think that's probably defeating the whole point.
What would caught up look like for you? That's a really important question. So what would it look like? Let's look at that. That's perfectly appropriate.
Okay, so I guess taking into account everything else I have to do with my job and all the other things going on in my life, I want to spend the time that I can really, I guess I want to do, well, I want to be able to do as much as I can and accept that that I'm doing enough with everything I do in my life, just accept that that's enough. Because
okay,
I'm doing
so what I'd like to do, if I'm coaching you now, which I appear to be, I'd really like you to get specific with yourself. I mean, you go into generalities, and that's how you get in trouble. So then it gets overwhelming again.
Mm-hmm.
Tell me if I'm wrong.
Mm-hmm. No, that's true, and that's actually something I've gone from making a long list of things to do and getting overwhelmed by my list to just
mm-hmm.
writing down the three most important things to do each day. And if I do those three things, that's enough. That's something I've been experimenting
with.
So
look at how smart you are. You're already coaching yourself.
Somebody else gave me
that idea.
That was Danielle Laporte.
Okay, that's great. I love three ideas, or three things, too. I didn't know it was Danielle. So are you doing that now?
I am.
So is
and
that enough?
It works really well. It's very liberating.
Good. So you're already doing something that seems like, it feels like it's enough, right?
Right.
So continue that. And it sounds to me like you're a little concerned about this program. So why don't you look at what you actually need to do, and actually next week it's me again. So there's probably, I mean, I know that, is there any other homework besides where we are right now that you're missing?
Oh, I want to go back and catch up on the mind-body and listen to Martha's class. So, yes, there's a lot, but I can do it all in time. I don't have to do all of that before the next class with you because we're not discussing any of those things.
No, you're not. And Martha's just going to confuse you right now. So, trust me. I spent half of the other class. No, not half. I spent 10 minutes trying to clarify some things. She's great. You'll get to listen to her. Lots. So right now, for this particular module, this particular practicum, see, I'm doing here is I'm trying to support you into coming down with some turtle steps. So what would feel like enough between now and next Monday? You just came to class.
Right. I guess listen to the last class that I missed.
Good.
With you.
Mm-hmm.
And I've listened to some of that, actually. I have listened to some of the audios for both that class and this class, but listen to the ones I haven't listened to yet. And then just, I guess, most importantly, because I do think I sort of get the concepts, but I think, Martha, did you say this? Somebody said, I forget who already, that I think it was Martha, that just reading about it and listening to it is like reading about how to ski. You have to do it. So I need to practice with some partners.
Okay, so do you want to make a call out now and to a partner? Do you have your study group? Where are you with that?
Well, Patricia is my study group, and a couple others who sometimes join us. I'm not sure if Stephanie's on the call, but she's also in our study group. So hopefully she'll join us. So yes, we have our study group on Wednesday, and I guess I can try to fit in one extra session sometime between now and next Monday.
I'm not trying to push you to do more. I'm trying to actually ask you to trim your list and see what you're already doing.
Okay. So I'm committed to being in the study session on Wednesday.
Perfect.
I'm pretty good at showing up for the study sessions.
Yeah. Good job.
Yeah.
And, you know, you might decide you want to, you know, you can get on the forum or you might want to contact somebody, if, you know, that you'd like to do an extra one. That's your choice. But right now we're looking at noticing what you're already doing. And what you just
did
was a lot. So I'm just, that's all. And so each day do something.
Right.
Even if it's just looking on the forum or, you know, I don't know what it would be. Listening to part, those demos are pretty short, most of them.
Yeah.
And then, then call that good. That's my thought. Does that feel okay?
Yes, that feels good.
Okay, so that's living in, that will be like living into the turnaround, living the turnaround, which is that you are not, you're choosing to not be overwhelmed.
Right.
Okay. All right, so.
Thank you, Susan.
Oh, you're so welcome, and I want to hear next week.
Okay.
Okay. Next week we'll get a chance to do longer coaching sessions. And we'll check in with Deborah. And I'm guessing that she brought a bunch of stuff up for everybody. So let's do a checkout. Oh, did you see what I did when I said let's live that turnaround, and I took it. That's called a living turnaround, where you're working with the client, and then you go into square three coaching. I was doing, you know, turtle steps and stuff. So that the client can give themselves homework, and you just kind of coach them so that it's, in her case, I took longer because I didn't want her to do too much. That's called living the turnaround. And it's a great dismount, you know, when you're finishing the coaching session. So it is actually 29 after. Are there any thoughts about this? Any material that we should talk about as a group?
Susan, I have one quick question. It's Patricia.
Mm-hmm.
Can you just tell me again when the Inquiry Power Hour is?
Oh, thank you. I needed that. Yes, I was going to say that at the end. Inquiry Power Hour is Monday night at, I think it's 5 o'clock Pacific, and that would be 8 o'clock Eastern, and Wednesday mornings at 10 o'clock Pacific, so to 1 o'clock Eastern, or whatever is across the globe. And it's
10 a.m. Pacific is what you're saying.
Yeah.
Okay.
10 a.m. on Wednesday.
10 a.m. Okay.
Yeah. So, yes, please come. And basically, it depends upon who's the facilitator. I won't be doing it until I will be doing it February 3rd. It's just a chance to get the questions answered, but also to do the work. And so sometimes in the teaching, there was so much today, we didn't actually get to do it a lot. And I felt like I did more talking than I like to. So next time I make a commitment, I'll give you all a chance to coach. So are there any questions that are left dangling here? So those of you, thank you for coming, and thank you for being so honest. And we'll be back in a week. And your homework is to, I don't know, it's in your book. Anyway, you're going to continue to practice the work, because there'll be one more week that we'll practice it. But next time we're talking about acceptance and commitment theory. And there's those little short little videos you can always look at if you need just a little bit to do. Okay? All right. Any other questions? Yeah. Okay, we're going to say goodbye then. I'll see you next week. And I'll be on the forum if you have any questions.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Bye.
Thanks,
thank you.
Bye.
Bye.
Thank you all. Bye-bye.
Bye.